Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Okay, getting the week off started on a positive note here. The market today is pretty flat. Today I also woke up a little bit too late, or later than normal, and I was late to the morning stream by about like 40 minutes. So I spent a little bit of time today in this downtime, you know, while the stream is smaller, because that's what happens if you show up late, less people show up, like a big surprise. I actually set up everything I needed to do to stream on both Twitch and YouTube at the same time. So shout out to Kaput for always giving me words of inspiration to set it up on YouTube as well. So if you, for example, work at work and maybe Twitch is blocked because they don't want you to watch, video game content, but they allow you to watch YouTube. I'm streaming on YouTube now, so feel free to stop by on YouTube. That's youtube.com/@ the at symbol, Real Theta Gang, and you'll see my live stream there. And that's 9 a.m. Pacific time on both Twitch and YouTube. The market today is pretty flat. This is a pretty good day for me in terms of my main portfolio. I mean, just $200 up for the day. Right now it's 12:25 p.m. Pacific time, so there's about 30 more minutes left in the market. Just talking a little bit about my performance so far. I'm up 20.96%, so we'll just say 21. The SPY right now is up, SPY stock. Year to date at the very moment is 20.50, so beating that about 0.5%. And QQQ stock for the year is up 19.99, so beating that by about 1%. And just this last week has been really good for me. One huge stellar play worked out for me, and that was Nike. So I had 900 Nike shares that I had actually naked. They weren't cover calls. I had those naked last week. And if you don't know, Nike announced that they're having a new CEO take place with John Donahoe, which is not a CEO that anyone really liked. So John's getting the boot, and this new CEO is in. He's a product guy. He's been there for a long time. He started actually as an intern at Nike, literally from the bottom, and then worked all the way to CEO. So that's awesome. Everyone apparently loves him and is a welcome change. And the stock, after hours, popped about like 8 to 9%, and because I had just naked shares, I was able to sell them after hours, which was amazing. Like if I had calls, they would have been sort of deflated just a little bit as well, because since the initial 8% pop, it has gone down about like 2% or so. So being able to sell in after hours was a really good move that I did, and that was again only really possible by two modes of thinking here. Is that like I was able to sell after hours because, first of all, they were shares and they weren't calls, And the fact that like I didn't have them covered, which is something that I wanted to get into today's topic, on just like hedging and how I'm thinking about hedging these days, especially with my overall market view. My overall market view right now, or the general thesis I have about how I'm organizing all of my trading, is right now, to me, I don't necessarily see a reason for the stock market to go down other than it has just gone up a lot. And when this sort of market happens, you need to be able to just put your emotions aside and just participate. You're going to get left in the dust if you don't participate. If you wait and you, for example, I don't know, the market goes down like 3% over the next week, congratulations, you just saved yourself 3%, which could be huge if you were planning to put all of your money in at one time. But if you just always choose to stay out and never put in any money in the first place, you're not going to be able to participate on this move upwards. So if you're terrified that the market's going to go down, right now is an excellent time to start putting in little by little if you haven't already. And that's the entire point of dollar cost averaging, right? Like if you do it on a long enough time span, you will always average your gains and your losses. It's just when you start getting a little bit too, who am I trying to think of? The guy from Big Short, Michael Burry. You're trying to get Michael Burry with it. You're trying to time the bottoms and you're trying to time the tops. You're not Michael Burry. You're literally just some dude or some girl just chilling on her phone on Robinhood wondering what to buy, okay? You're not that important. You don't need to be like timing any sort of market crash. You're just a normal retail trader, just like me. And relating this overall market view back to my Nike trades that I just recently talked about, if I generally think that the market will go up and I want to participate in it and I want to sort of benefit from the gains that I think it will have, I want to have my trades reflect that. And so my Nike trades last week, going into the end of the week, I had a cost basis of about like $85, and Nike was trading at 82, and I had 900 shares, so I was like thousands of dollars down. And I thought that, you know, the price of the stock is sort of close enough to where covered calls almost made sense. I ultimately didn't put on covered calls because I couldn't justify the amount of premium that the covered calls were giving me. I had thought that, you know, I'm bullish enough on Nike to stay in, but I don't think capping my gains for that price for the amount of premium I would have received on the covered calls made sense. And so I opted to go for long puts instead. You might be thinking like, but Junie, you're the Theta Gang guy, right? Like you have the Theta Gang podcast, ThetaGang.com. Like why would you even think about long puts? Why not just like leave the shares naked? And so the shares, my 900 share Nike position is considered for what I call it almost the dead man zone, where like it's so far gone, covered calls don't make sense, and you're just sitting on a really red pile of shares that you can't necessarily do anything much more with except dollar cost average in more. And you can imagine, I already have 900 shares, or I had 900 shares. I don't want to buy more to average down. It just feels bad. So I have a longer term vision of the market, but I do think I'm in danger of losing a lot more money in case if Nike has a sharp drop down. So I opted for long puts. So what I said to myself was, you know what, I'll buy these long puts, protect myself from any sort of sharp downwards movement, but I want to hold on to my overall shares. I don't want to sell or realize for a loss now, because again, my general market view is that the market will just go up. Time comes around near end of the week. It's a Thursday. It's after hours. I'm laying down on the couch. I ate a little bit too much for lunch and I'm like falling asleep. And then I have like my phone on resting on this like little tiny table looking thing. And then I hear the Discord notification come up. I'm like, you know what? It could be a bug. So like, I like look at the notification. It's not a bug report. I think it was Dillo or someone. It's saying like, yo, did you see Nike new CEO announcement? And I like woke up so quick. I went back to the computer. I looked at Nike. It was up like plus 8% after hours. And I was just like, thank God, I did not put on the cover calls, because it was just that day I had thought about writing cover calls twice. Two separate times I put my mouse cursor over the execute button on covering all 900 of my shares. I didn't do it because I was justifying, like, this is just not enough to help me on my downwards move. I'm going to buy long puts instead. Even if it means me losing on the long puts, I want to stay in. So buying long puts that could potentially lose, that did inevitably lose, over capping my gains with cover calls is not an original idea. I've visited this idea in the past with this podcast series in the Best Loser Wins series, where I talk about the Best Loser Wins book. If you remember, one of my favorite key points from the book, or one of my favorite quotes, rather, is like, we're here to make money, right? We're not here to break even. When you trade stocks, you're trading stocks to make a sort of like income. You want gains. You're not here just to break even. The covered calls that I would have wrote that day, that literally the day this new CEO got announced, I would have wrote them to break even. That would have been my mindset. And that's where I would have lost in the first place. It's not necessarily the entire time of the CEO that's necessarily important, because that's just a benefit, or like rather a very positive side effect. I was able to eventually sell my shares for thousands of dollars of profit, which is amazing. This is why the only real reason I'm beating SPY and QQQ right now is because of that one play last week. But looking at it right now, it's just something that I want to continue doing. So like, in the event that like you are doing very well on cover calls on the way down, I think you do, as you are going down and working down on your cost basis, you need to just be aware that the reason why you are being able to lower your cost basis is because you have been winning on your covered calls, right? Or dollar cost averaging properly, meaning that the stock is going down. I think me included, I can be very tunnel visioned, right? Like when I'm trading stocks, oh, I'm getting my cost basis down so low. Yes, these covered calls are working. This dollar cost average is working. But we forget, sometimes I forget, that the stock can go also up, okay? So a way that I'm sort of remembering this for the future is when I'm writing cover calls, when I'm working on my cost basis, as I am getting these very good plays on the way down, I need to make sure that I'm not playing too tight. Maybe I revisit selling cover calls back at my original entry, not at my cost basis, but at my entry, so that in case if the stock bounces, I capture a lot of intrinsic value. Maybe I'm still capping my gains, whatever, but at least I'm staying a little bit further away so I capture more of that bounce. The other lesson in this sort of example is like, if you're sitting on a very red stock, or at least, you know, when I'm doing it, because, you know, this is not financial advice and this is just my experiences. If I'm sitting on a very red stock and covered calls just barely make sense, I'm probably, then this is probable, not every time, but I'm probably going to be doing long puts instead, especially if I suspect that there could be a large movement down instead of capping my gains, especially tying that back into my overall market thesis of, hey, I think the market will just generally go up. So capping my gains too close is not typically a good idea. So not saying that covered calls are bad, we just need to be wary that we're not riding them too close, especially if you've been winning on a few already, because chances are if you are picking good stocks typically go up, and we don't want to cap those too often. But this was a very good example of me sort of trading around the idea of, hey, I'm here to make money. I'm not here to break even. If it requires me to lose, I will lose. I will buy the long puts to hedge, but I want my main position to win. I'm down to lose. I'm okay with losing. I'm going to try to be the best loser I can be. I'm going to buy the long puts to hedge. The long puts, I lost about $594 for the temporary insurance. But on top of that, I gained $4,050 from the Nike trade. Selling the stocks after hours was a very good feeling move. Very happy with it. But yeah, this was a very positive, reinforcing, data-driven example of, hey, let's not cap gains here. Trying to make money, not trying to break even. make it worth my time. And sometimes, yeah, covered calls just don't pay enough or make enough sense. So revisit or just visit the idea of long puts instead, in case if you have a red stock that's maybe just too far gone, right? If you have enough of a time frame where you feel like it's going to be in your portfolio for a long time, long puts might make sense in case if you also expect that maybe there's a chance that that stock will also rebound, right? Like some short-term insurance, which is what long puts are typically for, have worked in my scenario, and I'm very happy with this. Cool. So just to recap before I go on to the rest of stock news, right? We're here to make money. We're not here to break even. That's, again, a quote from Best Loser Wins, a book. Very thankful that I had executed on that by buying long puts instead of putting on covered calls, allowing me to sell my shares after hours for a very nice gain, not capping any of it. And then, yeah, just being okay with losing, right? Like, my general market view is that we will go up, but I will protect myself with long puts. And if the long puts lose, that's great. I'm just trying to be, again, the best loser I can be, meaning like I take losses in stride. I calculate my sort of losses with my puts, right? Like I factor in like, hey, just buying puts here make more sense than selling covered calls. And in this sense, it did. I lost on the puts, but that doesn't mean that the trade was bad. It doesn't mean that that was a bad decision to buy long puts, right? Just because one trade loses doesn't mean that the rest of your trade is bad. You can be okay with losing on your hedge, which is what I think hedging should be for. I think hedges should aim to be lost or to lose on them. Otherwise, you're just making a directional bet, right? So be okay with losing. And again, that ties into the entire idea of having a general market thesis. If I think that the market will just generally go up, I'm okay with being wrong, but at least I have a general direction, and it makes the turbulence from everyday trading just a little bit more manageable. Whew. Okay. So now with that out of the way, yeah, there's a new Nike CEO, and he started as an intern at Nike. Nike new CEO LinkedIn. And it's kind of crazy. I wonder if there's a picture of it here. Yeah, there's this picture. He started as an intern in 1988, before I was born, and is now the CEO. He was an intern. He was sales and sports graphics, and then into team sales, and then a sales representative, then a sales manager, then a director, then a VP of sales, then a VP of USA retail, VP of USA commerce, then a VP of global retail, VP of general manager, president of geography and sales, president of integrated marketplaces, president of consumer and marketplace, and is now CEO. So this dude has been everywhere. His name is Elliot Heal. And yeah, I mean, just so much positive words about him. But again, no immediate impact, I'm sure, because he just started, but it could just now be the turnaround story for Nike. If you're wondering if I'm going to be continuing to play Nike after my very positive play from last week, right now I'm kind of on standby, seeing where Nike is going to end up going. I think I have a general bullish view of Nike. I'm just not an entire fan of Nike's earnings being next week. But maybe the earnings report / earnings call will shed a little bit more light on how they want to execute on wholesale partnerships. Because as you know, John Donahoe was the main factor in Nike going direct to consumer, which is not a good play at the end of the day. But I think Elliot Hill wants to bring back some of those relationships, and we'll get a little bit more light into that at earnings. I really don't think I'm going to play Nike's earnings, but we'll see. That'll be just more content for in the future. I was looking at potential plays that I can sort of do for the 5K and 300K account that I have, that I trade live on Twitch at twitch.tv/realthetagang. Costco is one of my main bread and butters. Costco, however, has earnings very soon. So this is just a general very general reminder that Costco has earnings soon. Costco is threatening all-time high. There's a double top for this week, but it is definitely threatening all-time high right now with earnings looming next week on September 26th. Oh, no, it's this week. That's why I wanted to add it to today's show notes. So it's this week on Thursday. We'll see if it's a blow-off top. I mean, Costco is just one of those stocks that, like, it really just doesn't make sense for it to go down besides just people wanting to sell the stock. Costco is so strong. Like, why would you ever cancel a Costco membership? It's such a smart idea. They have such good white label name brands. It's a great stock. And all it's really holding itself back is raising membership rates, which are so low compared to the amount of money that you save. It's nuts. They have great consumer satisfaction rates too, low shrinkage, because again, the packages are huge. Who's going to be able to steal a couch? Costco, very good stock, has earnings on Thursday. Today, I initiated a pretty big position on cybersecurity. I opened a 1,000 shares Sentinel 1 position with a at-the-money covered call. It looks pretty good for where it's at right now. It looks range bound. It's very up compared to its recent trading history, so that's why I opted for writing covered calls via buy rights instead of doing just regular cash secured puts, because I do have a feeling it could go down by like 10% and it'd be completely normal. So I wanted to just follow that trend down in case if there was a reversal. But Sentinel One looks pretty good. Very low debt, very, very low debt, lots of cash. The margins are pretty stable. They have been getting better, but stabilizing here for now. So maybe their next earnings report will tell more about the margins. They do dilute a little bit as well, but revenue is also growing. And while I don't see an immediate, sort of means of getting EPS to a positive number, meaning like P/E ratio would be a positive number, I do think it is a solid bet if I wanted to be bullish on cybersecurity. So you know how I said that I have a general market thesis on the market going up? I think cybersecurity right now feels good to me to invest in. I like trading CrowdStrike right now. I like trading Sentinel One now. It's very new, right? Like, I'm not gonna say, oh, I've been trading Sentinel One for years. I just initiated it today. We'll see where it goes. Maybe I talk about it in the future on the podcast. Lastly, I want to give a shout out to my friend, Mr. V, very close friend of mine. And he shared with me a story in the Twitch chat, or he shared with me a question in the Twitch chat talking about his Shopify position. And it kind of just sums up this entire podcast, right? Okay. So everything that we do in the stock market, there are pros and cons to everything. There is risk reward to every literal decision that you make. You will never know what is the correct decision. You can just go with what you believe in and what you've been fed and what you've been able to execute on. Because what you execute on stays with you better than anything else. You get burned on the stove, you probably don't touch the stove again. You find a great bowl of curry on the stove, you probably go to the stove again, right? Like it works for both good and bad experiences. He came into the chat and was like, yo, Junie, I finally broke even. I'm actually up $300 on my Shopify position. I've been in the red for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I'm finally green. Is now the time to sell? And I said, you know what? I have just the quote for you, brother. We're here to make money, not to break even. I think statistically, I would bet that breaking even is not a good place to get out. It means that momentum is strong. I mean, there's a reason why you have broken even. And really, just think about how much money you have parked in there just to break even. It doesn't make sense to necessarily get out just for that purpose. There needs to be an external purpose for you to get out. Maybe you have a very general view of like, oh, Shopify went up because of earnings and you really feel like it's overbought, then maybe you could maybe justify selling. But again, we're here to make money and not break even, meaning like, hey, Shopify just broke even. Why don't you buy more? You know, it's just now a good stock in your portfolio now. But why would you even think about selling, right? And that's because we don't like having losses, right? We do a lot as like the human psyche, human race, just like as a regular person. You don't like taking losses. It's a muscle that you need to train to be able to be the best loser you can be. But you have to be just, I think, okay with losing after it's broken even, right? Like, say, for example, it did go down after you were like broken even and you're $300 up after waiting a year and a half. That doesn't make it necessarily a bad decision that you didn't sell when you broke even, because that differential of like, oh, you broke even by $300, but now you're down $20. That $300 differential doesn't make it really much of a difference, right, in the longer term. Maybe if it just broke even and then it cratered 20%, then that's just really bad timing. But that's like not going to happen unless there's like some really big external factor that probably involves like some greater power that is more important than this scenario. But really, just think about that example, right? Like, I feel like this is the perfect one that I could just really harp into. It's like you're finally broke even on a position and you're up $300 now on something that you've been read on for like 1.5 years. Why get out now? Why choose to get out right this second? Because you're scared of losing $300? You were down thousands and thousands of dollars before, but now this $300 makes all the difference, right? And there's a reason why, again, it's broken even. This is something that you need to just train. It is something that I think is very fundamental to a lot of people that need to just hear this. It's okay to lose. I know losing sucks. And you're probably like, oh, Junie, I'm really good at losing. I get it. Like, I've been losing a lot recently, but I don't like this. I want to win. I want the feeling of a win. There are smart ways to lose and dumb ways to lose. If you've been losing on like zero DTE calls and zero DTE puts, then you more or less sort of deserve it, right? Especially if you're doing it without a system or without any sort of, I don't know, any real cause or reason. But if you do something like hold on to a stock and you really just like nail down, just like, oh, you're able to hold and develop good fundamentals there, you need to develop the other side of that fundamental of just like crossing the sort of horizon of red to green and maintaining, and possibly, you know, what the book recommends is you add on to winners, of adding on to a winner, crossing the horizon and getting more green. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, this is still very much a new lesson to me. I just learned this year, right? We're here to make money, not to break even. It is such a tough, tough cookie. But I was able to share that sort of advice with Mr. V, because he was in the Twitch chat, which you should also be hanging out at. And now Shopify, I believe he's up, instead of $300, I bet he's up right now. Let me just look at Shop. Let me just do some quick calculations. I think because he held, and I have a general market thesis that the market's gonna go up. He's up by like $1,200 now. So it's just insane, you know, of just holding and just seeing what happens some of the time. It's like, why get out right when you turn green? You know, just sitting there, he's already gained $800 more, double, triple of how much he was thinking about getting out at already. So just think about that. Of course, you can always be wrong with the timing, right? Like, again, maybe Mr. V didn't get out and his positive 300 turned to a $20 loss. But you've already been holding on to it for a year and a half. What does it matter, that $300? You've already been down thousands of dollars. What does $300 matter? Or some people will literally think about breaking even at $1 profit and then getting out. What's the point? What's the point in that? You know, I'm guilty of that as well. And this is why I say it's such a hard thing to learn. Because I did this with Sentinel 1 as well. I had a really good cash secured put on Sentinel 1 that was down like $400 at one point, and then I got out for like $1 or $2 of profit. And looking at it, I would have made full profit on that thing, but it's tough. This is a tough lesson. So yeah, that about wraps up today's episode. I told you today was like a good episode. Like, I feel the energy, I feel the vibes today. Being able to record when I want is just doing wonders on the amount of energy I could bring into the podcast. And just thank you all so much for listening. It means so much to me that you do. I'll just see everyone next week when the next episode comes out. Don't know which day it'll be, but it's a little happy surprise.
It's like a reward.
From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TazyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TazyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. Okay, today's list of patrons is listed in the total number of points, which this technically means that the highest rank will be first. And funny enough, which is not his real rank, but his first name, Major, is number one. I'll just say the how many points he has. That is a big whopping number of 30,530 points. The second place is at 23,000. Next one is at 19,000. The next one's at 15,000. And then it starts getting pretty close after that. So it goes in the order of Major, Gruffalo, Slowmo, Mememem, Mr. Integrity, Tickle Me Elmo, Banadushi, Arfman, Danghai, Maltman 1856, Rustier, Espresso Bean, Maestro XC, Nala, Steakatsy, Upstream Puddle, McFly, Fancy Wolf, Ensis 88, T-Wall 3252, Rooster, Desserts, EDC, Kaput, RS Schmitty, The Jester, Averillion, Bachata Thug, Alexander Kerm, Chicken Dinner, Can't Make Money, IRL, Loido, Bearded Savage, MX7, KJ Martin, Asha Kabat, Vegeta Plank, Travella Mods, Theta Collector, Coop, Y-Teen, Young Rich, AJ Tar Heel, Big Dillo, ZKMSZ, Jimmy Gill, J Perkins 86, Turbo Ricky Huspy, Statistically Random Clutch, Florida Man, Lord Skeletor, Stephanie 10, Suede Slides, Grandpa 95, Andy V, Joe Quirt, Bustin Justin, Luca Badur, Tyler LM 97, Danube 9000, LPL Sumatrix, Los Pepes, Strategy 28, and Bins. Yeah, nothing much to report on in the 1% section. You know what? I'll tell a story. This happened last week on Saturday, or just this last weekend. You know, a day before yesterday. My new house, or AKA my parents' house, that is now across my old house. So just imagine. I lived in a house like during my teenage years after, you know, saving up from a trailer park. We eventually were able to buy a house. We moved into that house, and then years later, my parents move around a little bit within city to city. But then they inevitably buy a house across the street from the house that I grew up in my teenage years. On the right side of the house is a neighbor. And I don't even know his name. But apparently my stepdad was on Nextdoor or whatever that website is where how homeowners share news about their like neighborhood and stuff. Apparently he saw him post something about in lines of like, hi, I need a ride to, I don't know what hospital, Stanford Hospital, Santa Cruz Hospital, to get my back surgery done. I need a ride there today and then a ride back tomorrow because I would normally have my wife drive, but she passed away earlier this year. And so my stepdad, I think, was just more alerted by the fact that, wow, this is literally the guy next door, right? This has been our neighbor for a little bit less than a decade, but like really in terms of the same block since I've been like a teenager, you know? So this is about like a little bit, even more than a decade now, of just living in proximity to this guy and just learning that his wife passed away this year and that he needed a ride to go get surgery. So anyway, I talked about it a little bit on the podcast last time, but I had mentioned that, you know, I was getting a little worried on how to communicate with my stepdad because I felt like he was just getting a little bit bitter. You know, the grumpy old man sort of meme is real. I think as people get older, you absolutely can become just mad at the world because it just depends on what you are looking at, right? My dad or my stepdad has been perpetually just on the computer like his entire life ever since the internet was born. And, you know, as you get older, you start talking to less people and you start relying on the internet. And the news that he sort of consumes sort of makes him upset and he starts developing these habits of just, you know, seeking to belong in a community that also aligns with the views that he might slightly have, but he might buy into it too much and let him consume him, all that stuff. However, you know, I had just talked to him on like Friday and Thursday and a little bit of Wednesday last week talking about this. And I'm like, hey, I love you. I'll always call you. I'm never going to stop calling you, even though sometimes our conversations get heated. I'm just not going to give up on you. You know, and I could tell that he took like a pause there, because I'm sure that he was also feeling the tension of our last few phone calls over the last few weeks, because he would just go on like these like tangents about like you know, this political party this, oh, this president this, oh, that president that, you know, all these controversial stuff, which is cool to talk about. I talk about this sort of stuff. I joke around about this sort of stuff with my friends all the time. I actually love talking about this stuff in a joking tone and sometimes a serious tone too. I'll stand my ground. I'll like say some stuff. But you know, it's hard to do it, with someone that you, sort of feel like you almost need to take care of, right? I don't need to take care of my friends, but I do feel like I'm obligated to take care of my parents. And that's because I love my parents and they've treated me with a very good childhood growing up. I loved my childhood. I love reflecting on my childhood, just trying to keep the fun up going into my 30s now. But yeah, I felt like over the last few weeks, we have not been having good conversations over the phone because the quality of it was low. It was just not like we weren't fighting. Like, I'm not going to try to change his mind or have him change my mind. It's not about that. I just noticed that it would just be him going off on like 8, 9, 10 minutes of just talking, right? Like, and not noticing that like I'm on the other side of the phone. It was just kind of weird. And so I told him last Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, like in succession, like 3 days in a row. And like on like Friday, this was on Thursday. I called him and I told him like, yeah, I'm not having that much fun when I'm like calling you. And I, you know, it's not your fault. You know, it's just because you've been seeing all this news and you care about it a lot. I do too. You know, these issues are pretty important to me. But I really just don't feel like we're talking about, enough positive things. You know, I want to be the person that you lean into and that you could talk about these things too. Cause again, there's like this language barrier or this like, thought barrier between my mom and him, because my mom doesn't speak that well English. She can understand a lot, but it's not like something that she'll actively participate in conversations with, you know? So he confided in me that, you know, I'm the only one that he feels comfortable enough to be talking about this stuff with, or that I'm rather the only person that he'll talk about, he'll just in general talk to. And so I thanked him for being vulnerable and that, you know, I really do enjoy calling. And that's the only reason why I call, is like, I want to do it, right? Like I don't call because I have to, it's because I still continue to want to. And I think that's really important when you want to get in the habit of calling your parents, is that you have to find just the intrinsic value of it. You have to get something out of it yourself. You have to be a little bit selfish. And that means like, you know, you have to get a good conversation. You know, you have to feel good when you hang up the phone, because it's going to be really hard to call him next time if you just remember how bad the last conversation went. So I talked to him and I was like, dude, I kind of miss our old conversations of you just talking about football, you know, or just like, I miss talking about like positive things. And I feel like our conversations haven't been that good. And yeah, after him telling me that he, that I was like the only person that he could really talk to, there's like this like just quietness, you know, and I could almost sense that he was like tearing up because he's like kind of realizing for like maybe the nth time. Like, I don't know how many times he's realized this, but I'm really the only person that he talks to. And I love that. Not the fact that I wish he only talks to me forever, but the fact that I know that I make a really big impact on my stepdad. And that's a pretty cool feeling. I wish that he would talk to more people, but it's hard, especially when you're super old. Anyway, so within the next 2 days, he sees this post of this neighbor to the very right of our house asking for a ride to get back surgery, because his wife usually takes him, but he is now, is it widowed? Is that correct for guys? I don't know. But anyway, he lost his wife. And so my stepdad volunteered, dude. He took him there and drove him back the next day. Crazy. Crazy. And so, you know, on the drive there and drive back, he learns a little bit more about how she passed and a little bit more about his story. She passed away from ALS, which is, you know, the ALS bucket challenge of building awareness. You guys remember that trend. She actually passed away from that. And, you know, there's no real cure for it. You just kind of get it randomly as well. And, oh, man. You know, I never understood why people, like, tear up or get sad, you know, of like hearing someone else go through turmoil. Like if my mom cries, I instantly cry. That is just like an instant thing that just happens, right? Like, I understand crying about people that directly affect you or that you directly know, but like tearing up or crying for someone that you just like hear a story of, I've never had that happen. But I had that happen to me when my mom told me that, hey, you know your stepdad is actually driving our neighbor to go to get the back surgery. And I couldn't tell if it was like tears of happiness or like tears of just like feeling so bad, because my mom had also told me that the ALS thing. But I was just like, wow, you know, I feel like the call that I just had with my stepdad, like, I'm in bewilderment right now. Like, I just told him, like, I wish we could have more positive conversations, more positive things to talk about. And then, dude, this my stuff that drives a guy that just lost his wife to go get back to, and then that could be a potential friend. And, you know, we're talking about that too. And through email, me and him chat through email a lot of the time before I call him. And that was just crazy. That was just insane timing. I'm telling you, life is crazy. The things that happen when you have these difficult conversations and you put this like positive energy back into the world, you get it back. Maybe not right away, but in this instance, it was pretty right away. Like two days is instant in regards to like just having the gratifying feeling of just having something happen, but like insane. So not only did he help him out, but I feel like the neighbor could be a potential friend now. I asked him like, oh, does he watch football? But that's what I'm gonna call about and talk about today. But you know what else the sad part is? I think that's the part where I got teary-eyed, was that my mom, you know, as my stepdad was taking him to the back surgery, my mom also told me that they had bought an RV last year, you know, early last year, and it got delivered to him a week after his wife passed away. So you think that that would be from a movie, but that the RV is sitting in front of our house. I have a picture of it. Okay, that actually happened. The RV that the husband and wife wanted to travel the world with, or the country with, got delivered the week after she passed away. Like, wow. You know, like, it makes you really just think that you just stop and you just think about, like, dude, every single plan you have for yourself right now, and your partner, if you have one, or if you don't, right? This, you can also just, something could just happen, right? Like, your life can just change in an instant, for better or for worse, or your life can also end in an instant, or just someone that you know, someone that you love can also just pass away. It can just happen. So just remember just to be the best person you can be, maybe just for today when you're listening to this, or maybe just today and tomorrow, right? As long as I'm not telling you to do this for the rest of your life, just hearing this story, just be a better person at least today, you know? Just remembering, I still don't even know the next door neighbor's name, just for him, you know? Just be a good person, or better person than usual. Let's put this positive energy back into the world, and maybe you'll get some of it back. But here's the trick. You can't want it back. You have to... Welcome to my tinfoil hat series, where I recharge my crystals when Mercury is in Gatorade. When you do good things, you have to just genuinely do them with no expectation, right? And that might be obvious for some people, because some people are very nice in general and by heart. But for those that are a little bit more on the selfish side, or more on the intrinsic value side, it is a little bit harder to not expect something back. And that is just, it's just normal. So when we are being an extra good person, maybe for the rest of today and or tomorrow, just do it with no expectation at all. Okay? So, yeah, that was the craziest story. I cannot believe I did not write that down in the show notes. I would have totally forgot to tell you guys that story. Insane. Man, yeah. So, here we go. I'm going to go call my stepdad, actually, and my mom, right after I finish uploading this, and get a little bit more details on, you know, how the car trip went, because I didn't call them yesterday. Oh, by the way, and here's my last tip. If you want to get in the habit of calling parents, right? What I do, and because I'm more calendar oriented now than before. I used to not really care about a calendar, but now I kind of do. Just put on your calendar a designated time where you know that you will have free, and just put it on your calendar. And it, don't plan to talk about literally everything. I think a tip for calling parents is that, like, you need to just have a standard set of questions that you like asking about. For example, I like asking my mom what she ate today, what she will eat later, and where she will walk today. Those are three things that I think my mom enjoys talking about. For my stepdad, it's gonna get better, but before it's just been like, oh, what you been looking at today, or, you know, what's been this. But I think I'm gonna start structuring it in more like, have you thought about walking longer with my mom? You know, where do you guys usually walk? Any more insight onto my mom and stuff? And then maybe like developing goals around like just walking further. But you don't have to be this like pseudo like caregiver doctor sort of vibe. You can just say like, oh, you know, what's new? You know, but if you want to be a little bit more structured, you can just like ask sort of questions like, oh, you know, do you remember when this happened a long time ago? Oh, that was so funny. Oh, maybe, you know, start making plans on like when you're going to visit them again. But just keep it like a 5-minute call and just say, hey, just call and say that I miss you. Wanted to hear your voice. Anything new? And if they say no, oh, but thank you for calling. And you just end it just really quick. And guess what? Call back the next day. Keep it a 5-minute conversation. Again, just want to call, hear your voice. Anything new today? No? Okay, bye. It makes such a big difference. And it's just getting in the habit of calling every day that works for you. So, for example, I call every day from Monday through Thursday. I used to do Monday through Friday, but Fridays I just find that I get really busy really quickly. So I just really lock into Monday through Thursday, keeping that dead on lock. And then weekends are me. Weekends are me time, me and my fiance time. But Monday through Thursday, before I go to jiu-jitsu, I call them. That is like my calling time for them. But maybe, you know, on days I record, maybe I'll just call them as the episode's sort of uploading. I could save a little bit of time there. But yeah, calling your parents doesn't have to be this grand thing that you do where you like talk on the phone for 2 hours. I think that's why most people don't do it. But I realistically keep my phone calls to both my mom and my stepdad to definitely under 10 minutes, but most of the time it's under 5. And I think that's a good way to start calling your parents if you do have the willingness to do it. You don't have to, but your parents, I'm sure, miss you, even if you think so or don't, you know. So with that said, I hope you guys all have a really good rest of your week. I'll be trading on Twitch. Oh, one last thing. Give me one sec. I need to look this up. Mail. Oh, I didn't reply to you. My bad. Where are you? Jimmy T. Mr. Jimmy. Dude, I'm going to read your email right now. He says, "Hey, Junie, longtime listener since about episode 7. My girlfriend and I felt like we needed to let you know that we were having trouble naming our car. And we got into our car today and your intro played where you have your usual, 'My name is Junie.' So we felt like it was a sign. Anyways, still loving the pod and hope everything is well." And the email header was, "I named my Tesla after you." Hell yes, dude. Let's go. I'm officially an electric car. So yeah, I thought that was really cool. Jimmy, shout out to you and your girlfriend. I hope you guys are doing really well. I'm nowhere big enough to be ignoring emails like this. I'm going to actually reply to you today. I'll squeeze the time to reply. But I hope you actually get a chance to listen to this part of the podcast. I don't know if you actually listen to these all the way through. But either way, it was just such a funny email. Going to leave this off on a super positive and funny note. I'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.